Hello, and welcome to Around It About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. Our show features the people, the personalities, and the cultural events that make Chattanooga such an interesting place to live. Today, we're talking about a Chattanooga program that's helping teens avoid violence, avoid illegal drugs, teen pregnancy, and other problems like that. The program's administrators say they've got new data showing its effectiveness. We're talking about the Life on Point program. Amy Pearson joins us. She's a psychotherapist and the executive director. Amy, welcome to Around It About.
Thank you for having me, Mike. I really appreciate you having us on today.
This is pretty interesting work that you're doing. You've got this scientific study that was recently published about Life on Point. We're going to talk about that, but before we do, let's just talk about the program itself. It's based out of Chattanooga. It reaches thousands of young people in Chattanooga, North Georgia, and Cleveland. It's helping them avoid alcohol, drugs, teen pregnancy. What specifically are you doing?
Really, our goal and mission is to partner with schools and community and cultivate the strengths in youth that help them thrive. And so we serve middle to high school students. We go in weekly with the Life on Point program, which is a mentoring component of Life on Point. It's large group mentoring. So we see youth that range in broad areas of topics from it could be addiction, it could be the need to make better life choices in relationships, it could be struggles that they're having with family, it could be drugs and alcohol. It's a broad range. And in that program, we see about 950 youth in North Georgia, Hamilton County, and Cleveland. We also have our Think on Point program, and it is a week-long risk avoidance program that, again, is working to strengthen those resilient skills in youth, that ability to make healthy choices, and when push comes to shove, make the right decision. It's an educational program to strengthen them and their ability to make those great decisions.
So are you going into schools, or is this done after school? How does this work?
Yes, we partner with schools and communities, and here locally, it is primarily in schools. However, we do serve recreational centers. We serve houses of worship. We, you know, often will have partners. We have about 60 partners that will call us, partner organizations that will call us to do, you know, little roundtable discussions or an interactive session with their youth.
It sounds like it's important work, but why does On Point do it? How long have you been doing it? What is the motivation behind all this?
Well, great question. We actually were birthed in 1991, and the real heart at that point was to help prevent teen pregnancy. Well, as you can imagine, Mike, preventing teen pregnancy has many, many roots. It isn't just about this siloed issue. So as we would go into schools, we would be talking with young people about a vision. It's hard to even contemplate making healthy choices today if I think I'm going to be dead at 18, which is often what we hear from young people. I'm not going to survive, Amy.
Really?
How will I get there? So, you know, one of the things that we and our staff hear routinely from young people is, especially in the area of teen pregnancy, and I'll talk a bit more broadly, is, you know, I want to give back a legacy. If I'm going to be dead at 18 or 19 or 20 or 25 due to gang violence or just the violence I've seen, domestic violence, I want to give back. So it's really an interesting concept, and I think it's very difficult sometimes for adults to wrap their heads around what is at the base of some of those choices.
Yeah.
So we begin to unpack that and say, well, help us understand, what is it about your life that you think would contribute to your death by the time you're 18, 19, 20, 25? And they would begin to talk through the drugs, the violence, you know, all of the things that were happening around them and in their family cycle. So we do what we do, but why do we do it, Mike? We do it because we believe in these young people.
And you're saying these children, some of them are worried about being dead before they're 18. So I think you're not talking about kids in, you know, upper middle class neighborhoods. It sounds like these are kids from socioeconomically disadvantaged backgrounds.
Well, you know, initially our work was very broad, and it continues to be broad. With our Think on Point program, we serve about 50 schools, public and private schools. And with that program, we see a broader range. With our Life on Point program, the initial heart of that program was to target the communities that most needed some real assets in them to help build, not that they don't have them, but to help build and wrap those nets around youth. So we serve a broad face. In our Life on Point program, it is often more specific to those communities. However, interestingly, even in our life programs that are serving more suburban and rural communities. We may not hear, you know, I'm afraid of death by 18, but we often hear, I'm hopeless.
I'm speaking with Amy Pearson, the executive director of On Point. We're talking about On Point and a new study. We'll get to that in a moment. But reaching kids, that's got to be tough. I remember when I grew up in the 80s, it was the era of Nancy Reagan and Just Say No. And I don't know statistically how effective that was, but I remember a lot of people my age back then saying, really, Nancy Reagan? Teens are hard to reach, I guess is what I'm saying. They can be really cynical. They don't necessarily respond very well if they feel like an adult is telling them what to do. It sounds like it'd be very challenging to do what you do.
Yes, Mike. Well, it's interesting you say that. There's some remarkable research, and Search Institute performed this research. You can find it on the website at 15. And Best Buy was a sponsor of this research. And the research proves three things.
Okay.
Young people need a spark. They need something that they can get lost in, something that they're passionate about, something that they feel built up and really elevated by. But they also need a voice. They need to know that adults around them and the community itself hears them when they speak and is reaching out to them. But encased in all of that, they need those healthy, positive relationships. So someone to help me find my spark, if I don't already know it. Someone to share my spark with and believe that I matter and believe that I can change my future and change not only that, but our community and beyond that. But then someone that I can lean on. You know, we often ask young people to name their three biggest issues and to list, even on note cards, an individual they can turn to for each of those three.
Somebody who's actually in their life, not just some celebrity in a public service announcement.
Oh, absolutely. Or someone that they pass daily and smile at. This is someone who is truly building nets around them and building into their lives daily. So the Just Say No message, while I know great intentions, we need all of those things.
Yeah.
Spark, voice, and relationship to build a village around our young people.
You've got a study that was recently published showing the actual effectiveness of this, a study that measured how well this works. We'll talk about that after the break.
Support comes from Jeff Ramsey of RE/MAX Properties, serving home buyers and sellers in Tennessee and Georgia. 423-894-2900. Online at geofframsey.com. Support comes from Independent Lifestyle Solutions, providing temporary or permanent home modifications and equipment to reduce accessibility and mobility challenges. Learn more at independentlifestylesolutions.com.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Amy Pearson, Executive Director of On Point. They do the Life On Point program, which is helping youth say no to things like drugs, violence, teen pregnancy. And there's this study that was recently published. The Journal of Adolescent and Family Health published a study about the Life On Point program's effects. First of all, how was this study conducted? Was it at just one school or like at a lot of schools around here?
Great question, Mike. Well, interestingly, conducting a study in a school is very difficult, as you can imagine. We never want to deny services from any group of students.
Yeah.
It did actually occur at one school. We are working now to replicate this study, really with a longitudinal study, but it was conducted at one Hamilton County school. We're very thankful for Hamilton County for allowing us to do that. We're also thankful for RL and KH McClellan Foundation and the state of Tennessee for funding this study.
Yeah, because studies definitely need funding. They're not easy or necessarily inexpensive to do.
Absolutely. But thankfully, we were able to actually perform a randomized controlled trial.
And for people who don't know, to do any kind of experiment, you need that. You need a treatment group and a control group. And as you were saying, that can be difficult because to do it properly, you've got to have one group of students who get whatever you're giving out and one group of students who don't, and then you compare the two. So it's got to be kind of hard to say, well, this group of students, we're just not going to give it to them.
Absolutely. So the way it worked is we had group A and group B. Group A and B were all voluntary participants. We had parental consent, and they all rallied in a room, took the initial survey, and then we randomly, actually, our independent evaluator, who's also a professor here at UTC, Dr. Christopher Horn, he randomly assigned the students to Group A and Group B. So Group A received 4 months of programming, while Group B went to class.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, Group A and Group B came back together, all took the same testing instrument with just a few additional questions, but both groups took the same. And we have some pretty incredible results from that. Then we did program with Group B afterward, but the study itself reveals right after that 4 month period.
Right, because you didn't want to just permanently deny Group B. You just waited until you'd already gone through Group A. So you were able to compare the two. What was it you found out? What are some specific things?
Well, most excitedly for us, and really the reason that we developed the Life on Point curriculum, was to help increase teens' ability to make healthy choices. And we found a 35% increase pre to post with Group A, while, interestingly enough, Group B declined 6% in their ability to make healthy choices per their survey responses. So 35% increase was really remarkable for us, because one thing we know about young people, in middle school, there is typically a dip in those developmental building blocks that they need to thrive. You know, often it's an awkward age. These were middle school students. It's an awkward age. Students are grasping to find who they are and what they're doing. And so there's a natural dip that occurs. Well, not only did Group A surpass that dip, but they continued rising. So we saw that 35% increase. Some other areas of increase, however, that were pretty exciting for us were their ability or their commitment to work hard and stay in school with academic attachment. Group A increased from 79% to 84%. Their self-efficacy in resisting negative peer pressure. And again, I love this one because it's dealing specifically with middle schoolers. So peer pressure is almost, well, it's kind of in a job description of a middle schooler. And they increased from 70% to 81%. Positive social support, again, we saw an increase from 79% to 84%, while their peers in Group B were all declining. And then last but not least, positive life vision, an increase from 73% to 84%. So we were very excited, but more importantly than all the numbers are the faces. And what we heard from the young people really was, this has become a family to me. This is a safe place.
Can we name the school, or is that confidential?
I wish we could, but it is confidential. But those faces and those voices, those young people saying, I've never felt like my voice was really heard before. Now I do. Those young people saying, I found my spark. I found what will motivate me to continue to stay in school through the life of our group time together. I found an adult who cares about me, and I'm not just a name. I'm an individual. I'm a face. I matter. And many of those young people have stayed with us in Life on Point at their feeder high schools. So the exciting piece is that journey continues with them.
So what you were doing with these kids, was it one-on-one mentoring? Was it having a speaker come in and talk to them in the classroom? Was it kind of a combination of those sorts of approaches?
Yeah, well, it really was small group activity. It's very interactive, very hands-on, a lot of fun when we actually open the doors and we have our group and we have consent obtained. And in the beginning, we survey the young people and look at the various needs that they have by their own admission. You know, I really am struggling with, or I'd like to know more about. And so we targeted those areas first, but we walked through really the five dimensions of our curriculum: self-discovery, vision for the future, making healthy life choices, building positive support, and leadership for service. And so those young people did an amazing job serving and giving back to the homeless community here in Chattanooga, and culminating in visiting the Heart Gallery and creating out of that some very special remembrances of their adventure and their journey as they worked with the homeless. And what we found is, if we want to raise young people, we have to praise them, and we have to give them opportunity to serve and give them opportunity to see that they mattered and they made a difference. And, you know, at the same time, we're teaching them, I'm 100% responsible for what I think, feel, do, and say. There are choices that have been made for me that, yes, I am a survivor of some of those choices. But now I can be proactive, and I can shape my destiny, and I can have a brilliant future.
What about the parents? How are the parents of these children involved with all this?
Well, excitedly, and again, in each community that we serve and each school we serve with, we work to build a strong relationship, particularly in Life on Point. We serve about 17 schools here locally. We seek to find from that administrator, what do you need On Point to look like here in your school? So at one particular middle school, and this was, I should probably say no more because of confidentiality, but at one particular middle school, we did a parent night. And the students were involved in designing that parent night such that parents and students came together, they had a meal together, but then they also did various interactive activities around the building attaching to learning pieces that were, you know, common core within the curriculum. Those young people then enacted with their parents and had to problem solve with their parents throughout the building. And we had about 200 the night that we did that. Amazing, packed it out. More parents than we were expecting came to that event. So another piece, we just finished our Life on Point banquet, and at it we invite parents to come with their young people and hear as we showcase their young people and their strengths and hear from their young people, but also at the end of the night there's an awards ceremony for those young people. So at each school it looks a bit different based on what the administration needs and desires. But we seek to really customize, unique to that student population's needs and unique to that school's needs.
I know Mayor Burke, the High Point Initiative, Mayor Burke is very concerned with crime in the city, and that's something a lot of us are worried about. And to really take care of crime in the long term, it sounds like this could be a very effective approach because you don't just want to be reactive and, you know, arrest people who've committed crimes. You want to try to prevent everything that leads to a lifestyle of crime in the first place.
Yes, and we're so thankful for the mayor's office and youth and family development office within the mayor's office. The heart truly is to build those nets, you know, to build those developmental assets. We call them 40 building blocks. If parents are interested, they can Google Search Institute and find a host of resources. But the concept is this: if we provide youth with building blocks and we provide those supports around them and we try to insulate them from as many attacks as we can, while being proactive and built into their lives, then we see youth thriving. And that is the beautiful concept that we see the city really embracing. And we're thankful to all of our partners who have helped us, UTC being a prime example. I mean, we are truly blessed. The Journal of Adolescent and Family Health is actually housed here at UTC. And Dr. Michael Schur is the editor-in-chief. But it takes all of us. It takes the community, the village, coming together for the good of our youth.
You've been doing this study, but to really measure change in a child's life, you need to do it over years and years, maybe really even an entire lifetime. What are your plans to study these children in the long term?
Well, we've currently begun a longitudinal study that will really capture some great data for us. And currently we're in the second year of that. The interesting piece about studying youth in schools is you have to be able to follow them to their feeder high school pattern.
Right.
And so our hope would be to continue that study on as we follow them into high school. And even better beyond that, but as you know, that gets very in-depth. So that's our current work, evaluation-wise. The additional hope would be to replicate again another randomized control trial, because this actually occurred in an urban middle school. We would love to replicate that in both a suburban and a rural middle school. So there's much work left to do, but we're thankful for the partnership with UTC and our invaluable partners in the community.
What is the website for people who want to learn more about On Point?
Yes, it's www.liveonpoint.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Amy Pearson, Executive Director of On Point.